All right, I like Maine. All right, anything that any of you would like to discuss before I get started?
Well, we hired another wealth strategy associate, which is similar to Ashley's role. She's a woman that's with a private wealth team that runs about $3 billion in Atlanta that's moving up to Charlotte, and we were lucky enough that she wanted to relocate, so she's going to be joining our team.
Have you thought about her roles yet, John, or is it too early?
We've thought about it. She's going to be doing similar what Ashley's doing. We're going to try to figure out how we can segregate the account responsibility, and they'll both be able to back each other up. But part of her segment is going to be assisting on the marketing side. So we got to figure out how much time that's going to be. And when I say marketing, bird dogging, presentations, snooping, the team she's coming from has been very successful in that, and hopefully she'll bring some of their ideas to what they've done and what we're doing, and hopefully she'll add on that part too. She's been in it Andrew, how long has she been in the business?
I think four.
4 years. So she has a little bit of different skill set than Ashley does. But the marketing stuff, we do need help. We don't need a full-time person. And it just seems like it was a good natural progression for her career path, which she's looking to do. So,
was she with UBS?
Yes.
Wow. That's terrific. Did she do marketing with that team?
She basically started off as an intern in college for the whole office at Credit Suisse, and then this team finally made her an offer right when she got out of college. So she's been more client service associate there, but she's been involved somewhat with the marketing, but very minimally. So it's not like she comes with a lot of experience, but she's watched them for the last 5 years on what they do. And their way of prospecting is very similar to us, is we do a lot of, I'll call it snooping and creeping, and figure out who's selling businesses and who works with who. So a lot of ours is kind of forensic accounting to figure out who's who. And then Andrew or myself will usually just pick up the phone and call them and get the dialogue. But we need someone just to generate ideas, relationships, do this stuff. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to expand our footprint, since we are the only people kind of doing what we're doing. So we're going to try to go from argument's sake, Charleston, South Carolina, up to Raleigh-Durham area, that whole corridor, and just start picking cities, and we're going to try to get involved. You know, once a month we go to Charleston. I built a house in Charleston. We might go to Greenville, Spartanburg, but we're just trying to broaden our footprint a little bit, and we need help just bird dogging.
Are you still generating enough leads, or do you think you will initially, that you don't want to do any partnering with the private client side?
That is not something. So we've talked about that internally. I think we talked to our manager, the guy who's covering us in Atlanta. I think that's maybe down the road. Our goal right now is to raise, let's say, $100 million a year on what we're doing right now. But we kind of put on top of that we're trying to get four $25 million accounts over the next 18 months. And that's going up market for us. But the more we get exposed and the more we realize the private wealth side, I think it's doable. We're just trying to land some bigger ones to get more critical mass. From a partner standpoint, it's going to have to be a $50 million relationship for us to feel like it's worth our time to get paid. I know that sounds probably wrong, but we just only have so many slots in the, you know, the supernova or whatever you want to call it, that it has to be worth our time.
I agree. We had this discussion, the three of us, and plus Will, early in Supernova, and I just wondered if your thoughts had changed. Who was the lead dog in that wealth team in Atlanta that your new associate is coming from?
I forget. They don't have a website. They're old school Credit Suisse. The guy's probably 50.
Okay.
I forget the guy's name.
I've coached some of those the private wealth folks. I just wondered if it's somebody I knew. All right.
They came from Credit Suisse several years ago.
Yeah, a lot of people came from Credit Suisse. They went through some bad times.
Yeah.
Tell me about the integration into private wealth. Have you discovered anything new that you can leverage into your practice, either from the growth or the service standpoint?
It's day and night. It's almost like I was telling them I used to have a place at Isle of Palm, South Carolina, great place, was there 19 years. And then when the kids got grown, I built this place at Kiowa, and you just don't know what you don't know. There's different levels of things.
Yeah.
From a support standpoint, from a proactive, I've been around for 30 years. I've never seen anything like it. I know we're new, but when we have an issue or we have a problem or we need a resource, we're going to the best people in the world at UBS. And I'm sure I could have meandered through all the layers before in the private, in the regular channel, but it's beyond expectations. Our manager has come up and he's encouraged us to hire someone. He's encouraged us to do marketing. He's worked on our business. He said, try this, do that. I mean, I've never had it in all the years I've been in the business. And I think they understand what we're trying to do. And we've not heard a no yet. I mean, compliance, they're the strictest things I've ever seen, which I want, but we've not had a no on anything that has to do with clients or generating business. And the thing we've learned from talking to him is all the best people in our space, they're never in the office. They're out trying to raise money constantly. And what that entails is, and I believe this from the beginning of the business, is you need a really good team to support the business. And when you're confident with someone like Ashley and the new woman joining us and Will, Andrew and I shouldn't be in these seats more than a couple of days a week because we get money.
We've talked about that. The final part of putting together a team is have the right people in the right seats on the bus. Both you and Andrew love to get out and look for new business. This gives you the freedom to do it.
And I got to get over the old school grinding mentality of being the old school stockbroker that I got to be there just in case Mr. Jones wants to buy 2,000 shares of XYZ. That happens once a week.
Yeah.
And my best clients, they don't care if I'm down at Kiowa. They're happy. But I think there's a couple hundred million I could raise at Kiowa in 3 years.
Well, I know that kind of money's there, don't you?
It's unbelievable. The funny thing is I went from being number one in the branch production-wise to now I'm number 10 in the new private wealth branch. So now I told Andrew, we're JV now. We got to figure out a way to get back on the court.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Competition contained is makes a lot of sense. Andrew, as you are out looking for new business, are you finding a way to work out this support that John describes as beyond expectations? Are you able to work that into your pitch? What's in it for the client? What's in it for the prospect for you to be part of private client?
Yes.
How do you do that?
I walk them through our full team, what everybody's role is. I walk them through the onboarding and what that looks like, and then I walk them through what they can expect from an ongoing service model perspective. And typically what I get out of that is, wow, that's a lot different than what we're used to.
Just to give Andrew a pat on the back, he got a referral, got in a plane, flew down to Tallahassee, Florida. 3 days later, the woman called. She's transferring $6 million from Bessemer Trust. And Tallahassee is a city we never even heard of. And now, you know, we're going to go down there. Andrew's probably going to go down there and get a bunch more accounts. So he's doing great.
Did you have to do the tomahawk chop when you got off the plane, Andrew?
No, thank God.
You just dressed up like a Native American Indian.
Yeah.
Full headdress.
I don't know if I'd suggest that. I know you know this, Andrew, but I got to say it because it's so important to what we do at Supernova. This lady who sent you the $6 million bucks so quickly, Do you know exactly what it was? Can you pinpoint why you were so much more attractive than what Bessemer was offering?
Bessemer has screwed just about everything up. So I was the tallest midget in the room, so to speak. No, I'm teasing. It was we just clicked. I mean, I met with her, both of her kids, and it was just an easy relationship, and it was what she was looking for.
But to dovetail on what you're going to ask next is, it was a new relationship that we got a couple of months ago. That's a referral. So I think Andrew did a good job. Once he got the new relationship, he got a referral, and that's how he got there.
Well, that was my where I was going. My other place I was going is, have you closed the loop with the person who gave you the referral to let them know, again, obviously not specifics, but to know that you had a meeting and it was a good meeting? I mean, have you done
that? Yeah, I mean, before I even got on the plane, the kids had texted the referrer saying what a great meeting it was, and the referrer is actually coming in here today for a meeting.
All right, good. Did that referral, Andrew, was it solicited from your side, or was it unsolicited?
It was solicited.
Terrific. How did you do it? How did you get into that conversation?
I basically said to him, I said, look, I know you got a bunch of family, and our model may fit them. If there's any of them that it would make sense for me to sit down with, I'm happy to do so. And within a week, I was doing a conference call with the son of the matriarch of the family.
Andrew, you're really good. I mean, I am really impressed with what you do, especially when John said early on you were all you did was talk to rich people. It's beyond that. Congratulations. You're doing a terrific job.
Thanks.
Guys, what do you think is not getting done? We've gotten to this part of Supernova. We've talked a lot about the growth. You all have a great handle on it, as just evidenced by the story Andrew has given me. We thought we would talk a little bit more about structure. So as it has to do with either structure or growth, is there anything that you feel isn't getting done right now that you would like to have get done?
For me, the thing that I see out there is my pipeline, which is our pipeline and John's pipeline. We need some structure around that, and I think that's where ECIA can help us, just in terms of, have we followed up? Who are the new ones? Who are these people connected to? We're doing all of that, but it's on the fly. And so I think it would help us both to have some process around that.
Almost like a supernova, because in my pipeline, I probably have 100 million that I've been talking to that could, you know, several people with 10 to 25 million could say yes tomorrow, and it wouldn't surprise me because I thought they should have said it 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I think I need to get a bigger list, so expand the list. And also, I think we need to broaden our horizons a little bit, and we need to have to go after some cold people too and say, because I think our story's good, and if we find out someone's selling a business in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and it's worth our time, we got to pick up the phone, get a meeting, and I think once we get a meeting, we're in the game.
Yeah, the hard part of I heard everything you said, and it makes sense. I have a good friend I had lunch with who deals with Merrill in San Francisco, and I said, why are you dealing with somebody in San Francisco? You know, we're in Nashville. He was part of a healthcare company that went public, and the bankers for the company that took him public assigned him. I mean, they assigned somebody to him. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the pipeline that we're going to get from UBS, too, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, the issue – it becomes if you're not talking to somebody before the liquidity event, sometimes it's hard to catch up.
I agree 100%.
So people who know those things, and again, I'm not carrying water for the private client side of your firm. I'm just wanting you to keep an open mind. Sometimes those people, maybe the managers of those offices, you mentioned Greenville, great town. There are probably FAs there who know of things like that are happening before you might know them. You know, they play golf mm-hmm. with these people, they go yep. to church with them, whatever. So you don't have to, I just don't close your mind to having other people on the ground. That's important. Now, did the bank, did the UBS bankers know you guys yet?
They're starting to, and our guy out of Atlanta is going to make sure we get to know them. We're reaching out to the internal ones, and also, for example, I had lunch with an M&A attorney the other day. He loved our story, has people in the pipeline, but again, he's the type of guy that's hearing it well before anybody else is, and we got to get in front of more of those people.
Are the people who you have a lot of IBK people in your practice already? Are those UBS bankers or are those competitive bankers to UBS?
They're competitive bankers. We don't have any UBS bankers, and the majority of them are leveraged finance guys. We have a handful of M&A guys that are at – we have the head of M&A at Wells Fargo, and his deals are, you know, multi-billion-dollar deals.
All right.
So yeah, we're not going to get from them.
How's the manager in Atlanta going to get you in front of those bankers?
The one thing I've learned about this guy in a short period of time, if he says he's going to do something, he will do it. And he's been at the firm for 30 years. There's not a person in the firm that either doesn't respect him, jumps for him, and thinks he's the hardest working man in UBS. It's
what's his name?
Robert Karam. He lives, he's not married. He lives right next to the building. You could email him on Saturday night at 10 o'clock, and he's in the office.
Well, good for him. Good for him. All right.
I guess. So, bad for him, really.
Well, yeah, you're right. I that's hard to – he's been at this for 30-something years. That's hard to continue to do that. All right. So, Andrew, going back to the – you said you're doing a pipeline on the fly. Is that something that you would like for me to work on, a what that might look like? Do you all have something already that you would like my input? This thing is,
I'd love to steal somebody else's work. So if you've got something that works, we can tweak it to fit our needs.
Yeah, we need to approach the prospects like we do the clients in the Supernova way.
Okay. I have in my notes, this is from a couple weeks ago, you all don't have time not to be organized.
Correct.
You have to get that done. And you do treat, John, you identified it, you treat these people just like you treat your own clients. It's one thing to say what you do, excuse me, it's another thing to let them live it. So let me come back to you next month on an outline that might work there. All right, let me look at my notes here. We've talked a lot about the importance of COIs and making sure that they can fully describe your practice. Do your centers of influence understand the power that private wealth brings to your relationships? You've had some of these COIs, Andrew, well before private wealth. Have you circled back with them to let them know the upgrade that anybody they might refer to you, let them know the upgrade they're going to receive?
I have, but not in an organized fashion.
All right. I think that's
it's been haphazard.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot going on. But the key with the center of influence is to make sure they can specifically describe what you do. They could do it before. It's gotten even more powerful. I think you would want them to be armed with that information.
John, any updating needed with your centers of influence?
No, I've done it, but I agree with you 100%. I think I don't want to do it so blatantly, but there almost should be a way to show it how it is different than the regular channel. But we've communicated. Anytime we're in front of people, we explain it. I think the clients are really starting to grasp that. For example, I have a guy involved in a private company, and he's haggling about options inside this private company. And I've set up a conference call with the head of, private equity option kind of thing, and he never knew it existed. He had a class action suit against some stock he owned, and UBS for private wealth clients pays, Ashley, how much is it? $300 a year for each client, that it automatically is, all the paperwork goes through automatically. It's the craziest thing. They also give the every private wealth client gets our highest credit card, which doesn't sound like much, but it's this metal thing that people are going gaga about. But yeah, every time there's a problem or every time a client needs a resource, they're really seeing the benefits. We need to communicate that to everybody.
Little things like that credit card, you're dealing with people. It doesn't matter, but period. I'm going to say but. Anna and I are going to the UK for 5 weeks in September. We've got a credit card that has points through Merrill Lynch, and it's basically paying for the airline tickets. And I can afford the airline tickets. I'm blessed that way. But it's just a little spiff that I really appreciate.
We get $500 free upgrade for any club. We get 3 times the points for Amazon. We get free go-go internet. We get free access to every club and every airport. That's what clients love. It's just free stuff.
Well, listen, let's think about this. Merrill Lynch has, not to that degree, but has a card, and there's so much to that card that I haven't taken time to understand. What if one of the jobs that either Ashley or the new lady have is to fully understand that card and be able to make it really simple for the client?
I agree. I have a client down in Atlanta, prospect, $10 million with a UBS relationship. I've known this guy for 30 years. He won't switch because of this card.
Yeah. But I think doesn't that make sense to you to have somebody in the team that can fully explain all the spiffs that they get for being part of your practice?
Yes.
The other thing I would tell you, we were talking about how to make sure that your centers of influence know the power of you all being in private wealth. Look at it from the client side. If you just describe what's in it for the client, it gets really easy to have that conversation. This is what the client gets. This is why it's in the client's best interest, among other things, that they be part of our practice. So I would put those COI conversations, updating your COIs. I know you got a lot going on, but I would put that somewhere on the list. Last month we talked about reasons that advisors don't get what they want from Supernova, and just quickly to go through those. Number one is a failure to get the practice down to its core. You all have done that, never turning the schedule over to the CA. You're on top of that. Poor adherence to scheduled calls. John, you told me you all hadn't missed any calls. The fourth was failure to use the time created for growth. And then the last one that we didn't get a chance to talk about was accountability. And that kind of gets back down to what we were talking about before, getting a pipeline, getting that so it's repeatable. When you think about accountability, are you feeling good about where you are accountability team-wise? That's part of that, again, keeping up with the prospects. All of those things. Or you think you have a little work to do there?
Will, are you on? I think we need to better define Will's role. I think he's in the transition of us having a ton of support, then having no support, and then starting to rebuild again. He's been stuck doing a lot of stuff that he's probably shouldn't be doing and he's not good at, but he's just doing it because that's, I call him the shepherd. He'll do whatever he thinks needs done. I think he's been around long enough that he needs to help Andrew more, or help me and Andrew more with new business, help Andrew and me more with smaller relationships chipping in, and then he needs to have some of his own relationships that he's fully responsible for. And he's trying to do everything for everybody, and it's time that he needs to focus on stuff more specifically. And the financial planning stuff, I think he can assist in that, but I don't see him longer term being the one that's going to deliver financial plans, because that's not his strength, and we need him on the relationship side more importantly.
Well, don't you have somebody to do that for you?
We do, and then they leave. It's just we got to get a better contact inside private wealth that's going to help us, that can come here once a month or once a quarter and deliver 10 plans and go back to wherever they live.
Yeah.
Or we have to decide to hire someone, a full-time financial planning person that we pay X thousands, that they're CFP, they have good presentation skills, and all they want to do is present the plans, input the plans, and that's something down the road that I'm still considering. There's a lot of people that are very talented that don't want to work 80 hours a week, that want to work 20 or 30 hours a week, that are CFPs, that are good presenters, and it's a good way to be involved outside the, you know, make some money, but they don't have to be here all the time.
Yeah. Did I hear you correctly that you don't have somebody doing planning for you right now, the person left?
We do have a person, but they're taking on a role on a team in August, so we got to find the replacement.
Okay. All right. Just to go back and talk about something quickly that we talked about before, the accountability at Supernova is two things. Number one is having the game board. That's where you all are putting one or two things each week that you want to get done for sure. It's got to be doable. It's got to be quantifiable. Just as an example, Andy might put on his game board, want to talk to two COIs about what's in it for the client that we're now in private client. Again, I'm making that up. But each week, everybody on the team, everybody puts one or two things that it's important for them to get done over the next five business days, and then they make a report on that in the next team meeting. The other way for accountability is the five-star leadership model. We've talked about that a lot. That's when we break out five areas: planning, implementation, branding, marketing, and leadership. Somebody has to be responsible for each of those issues. That's accountability. And again, Andrew said a minute ago, I'd rather grade somebody else's paper than start from scratch. I sent out something to you, gosh, we discussed this months ago, about areas that somebody in the team has to have primary responsibility. I'm sure you've got that list. I'll send it to you again after our call is over. But again, you all have to get organized. You can't. You just got too much good going on to get bogged down in things that you don't want to get bogged down in. Bottom of the hour. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, this has been great.
Well, here's what I suggest you do, John, is, you know, this thing with Will is I think, a big deal. Again, going back to that book, Getting the Right People in the Right Seats, there's so much going on in your team. I would really look for areas that Will enjoys and he's good at. People usually are good at things they enjoy. And then things that you are good at, Andrew is good at, Will is good at, and then see if the things that I want you to be doing something you enjoy doing, and then look and see where the things that none of the three of you are covering are the best fit for Ashley or the new lady who's coming on. Start with what works, what you want Will to do, what he's good at, and then it becomes more obvious what you might want to have Ashley. What's the new lady's name?
Isia. She's Argentinian.
She went to Washington and Lee University.
Well,
very smart.
Yeah, they've had a little excitement in that town the last couple of days, didn't they?
Yeah. Andrew went to WNL, too. He's the red hen all the time.
There are a lot of rich people that hang out there, and as you know, I like to talk to rich people.
Well, you're not going there anymore, but we're not going to talk politics. You go there, you join a new team.
This is a hostile environment.
We don't talk politics or religion.
No. I'm good with that. It's important that you define the roles that Will is good at and you really need done. And then I think for Yusia and Ashley, their roles will get a little more obvious.
Yep.
All right?
All right, enjoy the lake.
I will. You guys are doing great work. I really enjoy these conversations. You make me better at what I do. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.